Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Delighted now to be able to talk to a former Liverpool striker and England international, Stan Collymore. Stan, very good morning to you.
Alan, very good morning to you. I'm in the capital today and it's absolutely hosing down. So much for summer, eh?
It says June the 6th on my newspapers in front of me. It seems like about November the 6th, Stan. So
it does indeed.
It's not great. Stan, great to have you on. You're very much involved with what's going to be happening in Russia over the course of the next couple of weeks. The Confederations Cup starts on the 17th of June, but you've been out there already, haven't you?
I have. I've been out there for 10 days in the four host cities, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Kazan and Sochi. And the reason is very simple. I asked Arte, I contacted them and said, do you have anybody that's involved in the Confederations Cup and potentially for the World Cup, because it's a news channel. And they said, no, we haven't. So I said, well, I'd like to, on the back of being at the World Cup in Brazil, South Africa, Ukraine, European Championships, France last year, going around filming and caught a lot of the hooliganism, a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff on my Periscope feed. Usually in the year leading up to a major championships, some of our media goes over the top. I'll give you an example. Ukraine 2012, there was a documentary and it was, do not go out there if you're black, if you're Asian, if you're English. So I went out there, covered the whole thing in Ukraine, went from Lviv in the west to Donetsk in the east, travelled trains, got on metros, walked around, met people, and had one of the best times of my life. And it was exactly the same prior to South Africa and Brazil, where it was, don't go to Soweto, don't go in the favelas. I did all of those things. Everything that I was told not to do, I did on my own steam, my own volition. And football fans, wherever they are, wherever they reside, tend to be fairly similar people. You have a little small hardcore of idiots that want to create a bit of a fuss and hassle, and the vast majority want to enjoy the game and get involved in the world's biggest football celebration. So I wanted to scratch beneath the surface. I went to all of the Russian cities. I walked off on my own. And reporting back so far is genuinely, apart from one or two concerns about what the Russian government, what the policing situation is going to do, dealing with undoubtedly a very small and very motivated group of football hooligans, that the vast majority of Russian people that I met want the World Cup to come, want the Confederations Cup to come, and just want to enjoy the football like we do.
So have they still got work to do in your eyes, Stan?
Well, I met a lot of fan groups, and they were disgusted at the small groups. Just like, I mean, all we need to do is put ourselves in the mindset, if we are a Liverpool fan, an Everton fan, an Aston Villa fan, that we know that there are still little groups of lads that congregate before games, particularly derby games, that want to cause trouble. It is on that kind of scale. It is nowhere near the kind of levels that a lot of people suggest. So when I spoke to, for example, Zenit St. Petersburg fan groups, a lot of them, they said, we go to the stadium, we're very welcoming, but there is a small issue. Now, in the stadia, for example, all of the stadia were fantastic that I went to. The Sochi Stadium down in the south, of course, they've already had the Winter Olympics there. There are 2,000 cameras in the stadium. There will be no policing in the stadium. There'll be stewards like we have in English grounds. Don't forget, these are FIFA-sanctioned tournaments. The police will be outside. You have the usual ring of steel because we're in much more sensitive security times, for obvious reasons. So there is absolutely no way are gangs of hooligans, A, going to be getting into stadiums or running around cities. I was very impressed with the security measures that are put in place. FIFA, for example, will have, and they've come under a lot of criticism, and I've criticised them a lot. They're bringing back what they did in 2006 in the World Cup in Germany, which basically your ticket, your match ticket, doubles up as a travel pass, a free travel pass in the city for the day, which I think will make a big difference. Also, everybody will have to have fan ID. So you just register, you go on, if you've got a plan to go to Russia next year, you log your name, and it's almost like a pre-authorization on an EasyJet or a Ryanair flight. That basically gives the authorities, it gives FIFA your name, address, and it means you can sweep through and go straight into the stadium. So I think that everything that can be done will be done. And my sole aim was, what's this country like? Are they going to look at me as a mixed race guy with horns? And I've got to be honest, I walked through Debenhams, H&M, Zara, all of the main shops, the same that we do in Moscow and St. Petersburg. And the Russians are very much looking forward to hosting the world. And I just wish that sometimes before major tournaments in potentially countries where there are issues, again, Ukraine, South Africa, Brazil, we just look at the whole picture rather than painting a whole nation as baddies.
And during the tournament itself, Stan, will you be doing exactly what you did in France, immersing yourself not just in the games, but what goes on outside of the stadiums as well?
Absolutely. That will be the primary objective. I mean, we've got a cracking studio in St. Petersburg in the main square. So my role with RT will primarily be looking at the cultural and behind-the-scenes aspects. For example, I contacted the Football Supporters Federation, that, of course, have fan embassies on behalf of England fans in major tournaments. They're going out to Russia with the head of policing, the Football Task Force, and the Football Association. I'll be sitting down, hopefully, with them and having a really good sit-down as to what they're looking for, what their findings are. So that my primary objective is to come home and say, look, this is what I've seen. When I go out, I film things live and very much on the hoof. You can trust what I say. Really looking forward to going out there. Of course, there's going to be football out there as well. We're going to be seeing the likes of Alexis Sanchez and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
Aside from the football, I really do want to get around Russia and start to get a picture of what football fans from all countries can expect this time next year, basically.
And just the final bit on this, the sanctions that Russia have imposed on their own fans when things have gone wrong internally in their own country seem to have been fairly lenient. Does that need to change, Stan?
I think so. I mean, I think that what we need to do is get to a situation like we did in England, which is banning orders, stopping people travelling, pretty much having convicted football hooligans that have to go and check in at police stations. All of the infrastructure is there for them to be able to do it. I mean, when I went to all of these cities, all of the, you know, the metro stations, the travel, the police stations, the apparatus of the state was there to be able to say, right, you are convicted football hooligan. We know who you are. We know where you live. When the World Cup starts, for this 30, 35 days, you will check in at 5 p.m. every single day. And I think that would go a long way to be able to satisfy perhaps people that want to travel out there. But genuinely, whether it be infrastructure, I mean, nowadays, in most cities around the planet, it doesn't matter if it's Asia, Africa, or Europe, you get the ubiquitous shopping malls and the same, you know, the one difference I did notice, and speaking to a couple of English colleagues that work out there, is that 10 years ago, the subway signs, the tube signs would have all have been in Russian. They wouldn't have been bilingual like they do in a lot of world cities. That's now massively changed. So if you're an English speaker, you're going to understand where you're going. But I'm very positive. I think that Russia, like any nation, is not going to want to have a situation where a small minority of people ruin it, pretty much like Ukraine, pretty much like South Africa and Brazil. So I'm glad that I've been there a year before the World Cup. I believe the infrastructure is ready, and I'll be filming both on my own, out and about on my own, and with RT, not just during the Confederations Cup, hopefully the World Cup, to give people a flavour of that.
Great stuff, Stan. We're looking forward to it. Can I just get you quickly on
absolutely.
Van Dijk and Mo Salah potentially coming to Liverpool? Looks like they both could come off. Good moves for Jurgen Klopp?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what obviously Liverpool need is a central defender, maybe a left-back as well. And if I was really greedy, I'd be putting Karius and Mignolet under a little bit of pressure for the goalkeeping position. But I think that most people realise Lovren signed a new contract. He needs to be much, much better next season, but obviously he's going to offer competition for places. I think it's going to be Matip and Van Dijk. Apparently Manchester City balked at the fee, wasn't on their A-list. I think that a lot of clubs say that when they miss out on a deal. I think that if Van Dijk continues the progress that he had from going from Celtic to Southampton to Liverpool, then Liverpool have a top-quality central defender in their ranks, something, of course, they perhaps haven't had in terms of a partnership since Sammy Appiah and Jamie Carragher. So a lot of money, but Premier League clubs have a lot of money. The most important thing now is do that shopping, get everybody bedded in ahead of what is going to be a massive season for Liverpool back in the Champions League next season.
If they make it.
Absolutely.
Can they progress very quickly?
Yes, they can. I think they've got the right man. He's got a long-term deal. They've got goals in abundance. Coutinho, Mane. Daniel Sturridge is an interesting one. I think that I would keep him with the added games that they've got next season. I know a lot of Liverpool fans are torn as to whether, if he's not going to play, then sell him and get the money in. But Liverpool are going to need numbers and quality numbers. So as long as they can start filling out the squad, getting, which most people would believe for a Champions League club, you have a top quality right back and then you have top quality backup. If Liverpool can get that in all positions, I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will be happy.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.